just be the start of a dynasty. This is history being written. The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
Hey, welcome back to Across the Pond, a Premier League podcast hosted by those on this side of the pond. Tonight, you got Chris here in D.C., Jacob in Nashville, Miles in New York, Che out in Portland. How's everyone doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Things are good. You know, just things are good. It's just I didn't catch the game, but it was good to see Everton get a win, much needed win in relegation. Got to catch up with Chris the other day. You know, Jacob is on video, so you know it must be a good day for him. And Miles is looking better than ever. So, yeah, things are good. Things are good.
I assume, I don't know about y'all, but I assume maybe Che just wasn't awake for the Brighton-Manchester United kickoff. Is that what we're hearing today?
That's I don't even know. What was that? Who did they play? Who did Manchester United or who did Brighton play? I don't know. I'm not familiar with that organization.
We will talk about Brighton-Manchester United briefly if we so choose to. But besides that, y'all, people out there saying the title race is dead. We'll talk about that. We've got new ownership in at Chelsea that, you know, at least it seems confirmed. It'll probably go through at the end of the month. We got some midweek matches, FA Cup final this coming weekend. Relegation fight is still alive, maybe, for some. And some prediction league updates. But first, y'all, we had Tottenham take points off Liverpool at Anfield this weekend in a performance that, you know, has people saying the title race is dead. And that's not news to us. We've heard Jacob say that months ago on the show. So, Jacob, I mean, I guess to start with you, you know, now people are picking up on what you're saying. What do you make of all of this now? After this result, you think that anything changed after this weekend to you?
No, nothing changed. It's the same. I mean, I said before the Manchester City match that, at least when Manchester City was dropping points in the run-up to the Liverpool match, that false narrative. It's just keeping us interested. It's creating a story that is artificially there, but it doesn't exist. The title is Man City. You know, I cannot see any way that they don't just close out the rest of the season. They've got nothing else to play for. And, you know, I think if you look at the lineup that Liverpool played this weekend, it would suggest that Liverpool have their minds elsewhere. The omission of Matip for me was criminal. And as well as Konate's been playing in the Champions League, how Matip gets left out of the lineup, I can't understand. And it makes me think that they're saving him for the final because they want silverware. But and there are some other issues with this lineup that I detected. And another key point I just want to point out is that, you know, if you're going to be heaping crosses into the box, left, right, and center, then Diego Jota has to either be starting or be on that field. And if you know that Tottenham are going to play a low block and counterattack, then you have to have Jota on the field to finish off moves. So, again, like in totality, I know you guys think it's still on, but I am where I was before, unmoved.
I'm looking at Miles right now. You can see the sparkles in his eyes. He's thinking about something. And he's looking like Virgil van Dijk, by the way. I mean, that hair is pulled back real tight. He's looking good. Miles, I mean,
that's kind, Chris.
Thoughts on that? I mean,
oh, I was very sad. You know, that was probably the saddest game for me this season because I was really, you know, I was watching the last 20 minutes standing up like an inch away from the TV, going like, come on. I haven't done that in a long time. You know, Liverpool has been on a hot streak for a couple of years. I haven't really needed to do that. So, yeah, it was just very disappointing. I mean, Jacob, you raise a good point. Like, we know that a lot of teams will come and try to sit back against Liverpool. And we see it, you know, kind of game in, you know, week in, week out often. And I just kind of wonder why, you know, there's no, you know, they do kind of just stick to their game plan. And, you know, oftentimes you kind of wonder, like, you know, the fifth cross in, like, will this really be the one to score the goal? Like, you know, they've already tried this four times. But that being said, you know, a little bit of luck, you know, Lucho Diaz, he's been a star for us. So a little bit of luck to get the goal, to get the tie. I don't think the title race is off. Look, Man City have tough opponents coming up. I mean, Wolves is a tough opponent. West Ham can be tough. You know, Villa, we got Steven Gerrard there. Like, you know, Chris, tell me, he's not going to do everything he can. I sat up to say this. He can't do everything he can to crush City's dreams on that last day. I mean, it's not over. It's not over till it's over. And this City team, we know, three of their defenders are going to be out with Diaz, Stones, Walker. You know.
Yeah. I think it is over, but not for the reason Jacob said it is. I don't think, like, Liverpool has nothing to play for kind of situation, so they would ring it in. We had this discussion literally every year on this time. It's like momentum is a scary thing in the Premier League, right? It can work in your favor or against you. And like, to say that Liverpool won't play seriously enough to win the title, I don't believe that for 1 second, because then that can affect your chances how you play in other competitions, right? But also likewise for City too. They had an abysmal loss, right? You don't know what the locker room is like. Yes, they have to win something to make the season, you know, a success. But, you know, that morale can play against you too. You know, what if they just slip up and, you know, mess up against Wolves? I mean, look who they lost to this season, right? Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, but Wolves, West Ham, Aston Villa. I mean, come on. Those teams are all on the beach. Wolves have been terrible. West Ham is just about as maxed out as you could possibly say from Europa League. And Villa is Villa. I mean, Gerrard's not been very good all season, and Aston Villa have been one of the biggest underperformers in the entire season. What makes you think it's happening now? That's what I'm saying. I want to believe it's possible, but the fixtures just don't lend you to believe it, especially with Liverpool having Champions League and FA Cup on the horizon.
And that's what this weekend kind of. That's why this weekend really bothered me, to be honest. I know. Look, irrespective of what we believe in terms of title hopes, like, because we're so close to the end of the season and Liverpool drop 2 points at home to Spurs, like, you look at this result on paper before the season starts and you're like, that's a pretty good result. Like, you know what? Okay, we'll make it up elsewhere. Now all of a sudden it's like panic mode for like the media and for some Liverpool fans, etc. We know that we needed City to drop points no matter what. You know, like, the difference between them drawing and losing honestly isn't that far away, in my opinion. I think Villa has no chance to get the result at the end of the season, even though if that would be a great storyline. You know, the only realistic option is West Ham in my eyes. And as Jacob said, that team looked so bad in Europa League. You know, I was sad because I predicted them winning, but they had just, I mean, Mikel Antonio is exhausted. That team is depleted. You know, they really needed Jesse Lingard. I don't know. It's not in our hands anymore, Miles. I hate to break to you, and it hasn't been in our hands for a long time. I mean, 2 months ago we were talking about how the title race was over, and now all of a sudden we're like reaching for a straw here. I want to see it happen, obviously, but like, I'm just thinking about, you know, this weekend with the FA Cup and you know, a Champions League final.
Yeah, it is a shame that, I mean, we've been here before, right? I feel like not every year, but, you know, most years we kind of are praying, you know, Burnley hold it together against City, praying Leicester hold it together against City. You know, we've been here before, just kind of like looking at these fixtures like, oh yeah, this could be a tough fixture for City. And in the end, it's not. You know, Vincent Kompany scored that screamer goal to solidify, like, this team wins the league because of the players they have. So, you know, you're right, Chris. And if you want to win the league, you can't be dependent upon others. So,
no, Man City win the league, and I think this was a great point by Eric in our text. They win the league because Liverpool couldn't beat the likes of Brighton and drop points earlier in the season. I mean, they just couldn't take advantage when they needed to of some of these teams. So that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Not performance against the big clubs. I mean, that is never it for Liverpool.
And you know what really bothered me too about this weekend is, you know, people talk about Liverpool breaking these teams down, sitting in low blocks. Like, to be honest, though, Spurs had two or three great chances off the counter where the midfield was just not up for tracking those key runners. Like, the second I saw the buildup for Spurs' goal, like, the second it started, you could just feel, you could sense that Liverpool was totally outnumbered, out of position. Same with the Højbjerg shot that goes off the post. Those are two instances where Liverpool was just not prepared defensively. And honestly, there's no excuse for that other than those guys are dead in the midfield, and maybe Milner should have played in the midfield. You know, who knows who should have played in that midfield based on minutes played or whatever, but I don't think it was like the inability to break Spurs down per se that really lost that game or that lost the points in that match.
Yeah, I would agree, Chris. And, you know, I think we'll have to see what lineup against Villa that Liverpool go for, and that'll be very instructive about probably what's going to happen for the final of the FA Cup. And I think what's going to happen for the final of the Champions League. And you know, Henderson is great. You know, I think he's really underrated in his ability to, you know, make positive possession. You know, Jorginho, masters of a sideways pass, great at recycling, but Henderson is really effective at playing forward passes to spring attacks and turn the ball over, sorry, not turn the ball over, but transition from attack to defense. Very, very good at doing that directly in a way that benefits Diaz, Salah, and Mane. But I would say that, you know, where we're at in the season right now, I would like to see Naby Keita on the field more and more. He seems to be hitting stride, playing really well between the lines. And I just think that his energy, given, you know, the amount he's played this season, I think is going to be what carries Liverpool forward to trophies.
I'm looking back through past seasons at winners of the title, and even going as far back as the, you know, we're at the 10-year anniversary of Manchester City's miracle finish over Manchester United, sorry, Shay. But, you know, you look at the title winners over, like, the last 5 years or so, none of these teams had 8 draws the way Liverpool does, you know? None of these teams have fewer than, or most of them, you know, have fewer than 5 draws and 5 losses. And it's just, that just shows how fine the margins are, you know, in these fixtures. Like, you really can't afford to draw that many games. You really can't afford to lose that many games. And you know, on paper where, you know, title winners are now putting up 100 points, like, there's really very few, there's very little room for error. So just some perspective for people who are like, yeah.
But it's a Premier League. I mean, like I said, like, City lost to Crystal Palace and they drew Southampton. Like, you know, twice. I don't see a situation where Pep loses it. But we also did see a situation where they would go up, what was it, 2-0 after being up on aggregate and then lose in the Champions League in the last 5 minutes of a match. So, that, as Mal said, this is why I love this game.
Yeah, I mean, City got to lose, and Liverpool have to pass them on goal differential. And that was the crazy part about the City result, was the 5-0 took over goal differential. So, you know, there's a lot of luck needed for that to happen.
Well, wasn't it this week, Chris, that there was a team, was it in League 2 that needed to win? Was it Northampton
Tranmere.
Town? I can't remember.
Tranmere, so Rovers, yeah.
Tranmere, yeah, needed to win 7-0, and they pulled it off. So who's to say that on the last day of the season, you know, we don't just put an absolute shellacking on, I guess, who do we play at the end?
Wolves, yeah.
Yeah, Wolves.
Yeah, let Bruno Lage just, you know, play it, open the floodgates for us. Well, I mean, keep your eyes inside a race. Plenty there for sure. Liverpool has Chelsea at the weekend with the FA Cup. They have Villa midweek. Manchester City, they have Wolves on Wednesday.
That FA Cup, though, I mean, I think now Eric made a good point how now these, you know, where Liverpool can, you know, decide their fate, those cups now become increasingly important. I think this FA Cup, winning it will be huge for morale of this team. I mean, it's going to be tough. Chelsea, look, I don't even know whether to say Chelsea are good or bad, because right now they're all over the place. I mean, got to be kind of tough with, like, Rudiger and Azpilicueta both saying they're going to move on next season. You know, Lukaku coming off the bench, scoring 2 goals, and then, you know, probably not going to play again for the rest of this, you know, who knows? We know they've met each other in the cup final before. Chelsea will want revenge. I don't know, Chris. How are you going to see this final? Which way do you think it's going to go?
I mean, this is a rematch of the League Cup final that went to 11 penalties. 0 goals in that match. I think Chelsea, similar to Spurs and how they were inconsistent, are going to get up for this Liverpool match. I think all of those teams near the top see Liverpool and think, let's give them a go. Let's compete, you know. They're going to rise to the occasion in that sense. Chelsea has an opportunity to win their only piece of silverware. They want their revenge in the League Cup final. I think it's going to be an intense match. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we see something similar to the Spurs match, to be honest, in the way Chelsea set up, in the way they try and bring a second player over to Mo Salah anytime he gets the ball. Same with Diaz. I imagine it's going to be an extremely difficult final and probably pretty boring for any neutral.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think that new ownership's going to be hoping they get a cup, you know, some silverware right after they've, you know, purchased the team. I don't know. My biggest question going into that, you know, thinking about the lineup is, who do you think is going to start in goal? Do you think it'll be Mendy, or you think, you know, you think Kepa's going to get the chance to take another PK?
They were smart. They were making Mendy.
Yeah,
based on the bad luck.
Can he shoot PKs? I don't know.
I wanted to bring this up, guys, like, for the Liverpool fans. Like, how concerned should we be about Mo Salah? Because he has been, you know, played almost out of every game the last 5 or 6 games by the opposition. They're playing him tighter. They're doubling him. you know, who would have thought that Sessegnon would have had the impact that he did and be able to shut down Salah? You know, the more and more I watch him, I do think about, like, A, how worried should we be? And B, you know, should he get that huge new contract? Yeah, because when he's really ineffectual, he is ineffectual. But again, he has, you know, world-class magic when it's needed.
He's got so many minutes this season. This is a guy who, you know, I don't know if he just wants to play every match, or if, I would be surprised if he plays 90 against Aston Villa. I guess I'll say that. I'll be surprised if he plays more than 30 minutes against Aston Villa. I mean, that guy should be getting massages this week. He should be getting good training sessions in, you know, maybe a lift here and there, facial, whatever he needs to get ready for some silverware. Jacob, I'm in agreement, you know. His game comes in waves, but, you know, I think we're all hoping that the next few weeks, not even next few, the next week, we see his form kind of come back to where he was in the winter. Contract aside, you better double that, man.
Yeah, he's got to be tired. I mean, the thing about the FA Cup final is that Salah has not, in the last couple meetings with Chelsea, gotten any change out of Rudiger at all. I mean, yeah, Chris, I know you love Rudiger. I love Rudiger. I'm going to be sad to see him go. But yeah, you love him, Chris. Don't shake your head. You know he's a bad man, and I know you like the bad men. You know, so just watch.
Chris loves his bad men.
He loves his bad men. So I just think, yeah, he needs rest, because he's going to get played out of the game if he's not, like, super fresh for that final.
We got the FA Cup final with Liverpool and Chelsea this weekend. Heading into that, though, you know, we should discuss the takeover at Chelsea FC. Abramovich finally, at least it seems, like he's getting rid of Chelsea, similar to the way, you know, maybe Elon Musk is going to take over Twitter. Maybe Todd Boehly and his consortium takes over Chelsea for this amount of $5.2 billion. It's insane if you compare that to the $44 billion of Twitter. But he's taking over Chelsea Football Club. He was at the match this weekend. Obviously, part owner of the LA Dodgers, owns a stake in the LA Lakers as well. What are your thoughts on this takeover? What's to come? Another American owner in the Premier League. Plus, you know, they're saying another $1.75 billion pounds of further investment, you know, improvements to Stamford Bridge, the academy, women's team, et cetera. So thoughts on that and what's to come?
This whole sale of Chelsea and what's going on with Abramovich there and offloading the club has just got me thinking Heath Ledger, Brokeback Mountain, you know, when he tells Jake Gyllenhaal, I just can't quit you. So, I mean, you know, I'm not sure if this merger, or sorry, not merger, if this sale is going to happen, if it does, but good for Chelsea. You get more money, you get more cash. Chelsea can still be a fixture. We can still have a competitive top four. I don't know. Does it really matter? I don't know. Should I really care? I'm torn.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't really, it doesn't really bother me. The only thing, I guess, with the American, increasing American owners, a lot of Americans are getting, like, bad rap with, like, Premier League supporters in England. So that's the one thing I don't really appreciate. Like, you know, not all Americans are, you know, some Americans have a podcast, long-standing podcast about the Premier League. So that's the only thing that, you know, there can be a little bit of American hate. We see that, Shea, with your boys and Man United. Glazers out. So other than that, can't really be bothered.
Yeah, can't really be. Yeah, exactly. That's the way I look at it. Unless it's like something significant where, you know, just like a oligarchy kind of money where it's just like stupid money, you know, like we have in Newcastle where you're like, oh, okay, this means something. I think it's all relatively the same. I think it's just interesting that from a business perspective, the fact that the British government still has to like sanction this is wild. Like, that's not really how you do business in today's world. But from like, what does it mean to the impact of the sport? Maybe call us American, but it's just another owner, right? Like, yeah, you get multiple kinds of owners. You get owners who are passionate about the club, and they invest in it because they have a personal stake in it. You can't really have that at this level of competition with Chelsea, and you know, because those teams are way too big. And then you get owners who are just there to make a profit, kind of like what we had a little bit with Newcastle, you know, Mike Ashley. And then you get owners who are there to invest in the future of the team. So we don't know. Time will tell, but it's not going to impact short or long term, I don't believe, right?
For a club, yeah, like I agree, Shay. And I think there's nothing we can learn about them being good baseball owners or good owners of American franchise sports, because there's no parable. I mean, is Stan Kroenke a good owner of the Rams? Like, I don't know. Is he? I mean, they won a championship, but you know, he's, you know, look at what's happening at Arsenal. So I think it'll be about what structure goes in beneath the owners. And you can just look at what happens at Manchester United. Okay. Take the Glazers out of the equation. There's money going in to buy players, but it's about the structure you have around them. So like, let's see what happens with the rest of, you know, over the rest of the club post sale.
It's crazy now with this addition, with this, you know, new American coming in. You just look at all the Americans now in the league. You got obviously FSG, Glazers, Kroenke, Todd Boehly, the Burnley situation. I'm probably forgetting some American owners. You know, that said, like, I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing like some of these championship clubs get scooped up too, you know, in the coming years. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what's ahead this week, some midweek matches over the next 2 weeks, only a few weeks remaining in the season. We got to say goodbye to Watford, prediction league updates, and more shortly.
Chris, I know you want to have hope, bro, but it's done. It's over.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. Hey. Save for the pod. Y'all, ahead this week, you know, we already talked about the FA Cup a little bit, so we kind of scratched that off the list. Midweek matches, though, this weekend, including the North London Derby. So some hot fixtures midweek. Leeds versus Chelsea, they could be cooked midweek. You know, they could be done, Miles. Remember, Miles said top of the table for at least one. Leeds would be top of the table for at least one moment. We also got Watford Everton, you know, a relegation battle at the bottom there. Aston Villa Liverpool, Leicester Norwich, and Wolves Manchester.
What relegation battle? One team is relegated, the other team is just
I'm seeing two teams 1 point apart. Games in hand or not, two teams at the bottom, 1 point apart. Is that not a relegation battle? Anybody on the pod think Watford can either get a point or a win over Everton? After Everton's, you know, I mean, I have to give them credit. Big results.
No. They're on the beach. Roy Hodgson put the shades on. He said, I'm out. He said, Ray Lewington, go coach for me. It's over, guys. It's over.
I mean, Watford has lost six straight, man.
Richarlison is on fire. You cannot keep this man down. He will find stuff to throw at you. Missiles, flares, you name it.
Like, why? I'm not even showing up to the game if I'm wife and play. I'm just chilling. Like, what are you playing for? You want to get hurt? You know, like, you want to be there just in the crowd. Like, I just want to be sitting in the stands just looking at the crowd, you know, just, like, enjoying it.
Like, is that Shay up there? Yo, what? Oh, man. What about North London Derby, y'all? I mean, Spurs, Arsenal. These two teams are fighting desperately for top four. A win for Spurs puts them within 1 point of Arsenal with, you know, they would after that have three matches left in the season. Tottenham coming off, you know, a big point at Anfield.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal have also been hot recently too. I mean, they had a big win this weekend. We saw them beat Chelsea previously. So I think that's going to be a real tasty fixture because, you know, both clubs have kind of been battling it out all season, circling each other all season for this fourth place spot. And this week is when it will actually be decided. So, you know, Arsenal fans, we know we have a lot of Arsenal fans that listen to this podcast. And we've been giving you more love this season than normal. So, you know, this is a return to Champions League for Arsenal fans. For Tottenham fans, you know, that will also be important because they crashed out of Conference League. So, you know, to jump from Conference League to Champions League in one season, I mean, that's pretty amazing. We know what all the implications of that. Maybe it means Harry Kane will stay So it's going to be a huge match.
You know what would be crazy? You know what would be crazy is that if somehow Arsenal ends up, I mean, I think Arsenal's the favorite for the record. I think they're going to get fourth, right? But if somehow Arsenal ends up just missing on top four and getting fifth place and they lose to Tottenham and then they lose to Everton, like, isn't that just the most typical Arsenal way to go down? You know, you like, you just make it the most dramatic crushing of all time. Tottenham has a very favorite, like, they play Arsenal, they play Burnley, they play Norwich City. So we know they're going to get their points minus the Arsenal game. So if they win this Arsenal game, it's back on and it could be dramatic.
Yeah, they're going to be a lot of goals. And Maz, you know, when you said we have a lot of Arsenal fans, I think you meant it in the past tense. We had a lot of Arsenal fans. And I don't even think they ever got past the Nicolas Pepe hate. You know, they never got past that. And how terrible he was and how right I was that he was an awful signing. But this game is going to be a goal fest. I really feel it. And I think it's going to remind me of, do you remember that North London Derby, Chris, we watched with Henry and Dan where we took a shot every card and every goal?
No, I don't remember.
that was the one where was Eric Dier had like the bust up in the corner. I think Kane scored the header. And I think it was 2-2 in the end.
This is going to be an incredible game to watch. It's a shame that it's midweek. You know, really feels like it should be played, you know, on the Sunday after the FA Cup. Like, why are we treating the FA Cup final like it's this like holiday? I don't understand that, but whatever. You know, Thursday match. It'll be a good one. All right, if Spurs do not make top four at this point, you know, has Conte failed this season for Spurs, given his opportunities, you know, in their sort of inconsistent form and whatnot, and, you know, his lack of, you know, control over players or whatever?
No, I think we judge Conte by next season. I mean, he came in when already, you know, Spurs had kind of been whatever points that, you know, he could blame them all on Nuno, the points that he's lost. But I just have a question for you all because, you know, we say Spurs is Spursy. And then we also, Shay's talking about Arsenal, you know, being dramatic and then falling out. Is being Spursy and also being Arsenal, like, acting like an Arsenal team, are they the same? Is this just like the same, just disappointment? Is it being Spursy and also Arsenal, they're one and the same, two sides of the same coin?
Yeah, why not? I mean, that's every team in you know, from fourth to eighth right now. You know, we can say the same thing about West Ham, man. The team only had to beat Frankfurt in a two-leg affair, and they looked so depleted and so helpless.
Chris, we know you got, but West Ham have been punching above their weight. That Frankfurt crowd, Shay, I know you saw that Frankfurt crowd. Like, that is too intimidating for me to even go there if I was a neutral fan. Like, that was wild. Like, the fans there, that's wild. Like, we need more. I'm glad, you know, if they win, they can be in the Champions League. I'd love to see those fans more often. But that was a wild atmosphere, Shay. Chris, we can't blame West Ham for choking in that. That was insane.
I'm more so just talking about their inconsistency. I mean, they haven't won the league. They've won one game in the league in the last since early April.
That's rough. If Arsenal finish in fourth, or even finish third, right? Because they could leapfrog Chelsea, right? Is it mathematically possible, Chris? I don't have the table up, but
yeah.
Because you just don't know what you're getting from Chelsea every week, especially after the cup final. Who knows what they'll do? Does Arteta win manager of the season?
It should be Thomas Frank.
Well, it could be Liverpool. It could be Klopp if they win the quadruple, whatever they're in the title for winning. So you got to wait till then.
Saying there's a chance. Interesting.
There's a chance. There's a chance.
No, I think Thomas Frank. But, I mean, Arteta's a good shout. If I really thought he was going to get sacked, and then I shifted my attention to Frank Lampard. So maybe I just shouldn't shift my attention to anybody. Then they'll actually get sacked.
I'll tell you who's going to get the worst manager of the year. Been a Rodgers.
Shay, you know, you've shouted out Rodgers earlier this year, and like I was thinking of you this weekend, as I often do, and I was like, wow, how right Shay was. Leicester are so poor this year.
Could y'all imagine if he had stayed at Liverpool?
Jeez. Look, don't get me started on Rodgers. Act like Shay started the Rodgers is just average and not like an exceptional manager. Okay, they won the FA Cup last year. You know, credit to them. Anybody can win, you know, a one match, you know, essentially a playoff. They did it. I mean, let's talk about just their failure to slide down the league table. He's playing permanent chutes and ladders.
Yeah, but I mean, Rodgers clearly, in my opinion, towards the end was going for the Conference League trophy, piece of silverware to maybe lock him in. And what Mourinho took it from him.
I know. What poetic justice it'll be if Jose wins the first Conference League. And I won all the trophies. I won with Manchester United. I won with, you know, Chelsea and Porto.
You won a European Cup.
Man, he was so I've never seen Mourinho like that. I mean, Shay, I mean, you know, this guy was your team's manager for so many years. I've never seen him get emotional like that to, you know, go. He didn't even win the cup. He just got into the final of the Conference League. Like, this guy was tearing up, you know. I feel good for him. I mean, I like to see that passion come back to him. It was a little sensitive side.
I mean, Spurs did
him
dirty.
He almost out Hasenhüttl.
Yo, we got to talk relegation real quick. You know, we talked about Watford leaving, but, you know, Leeds, Burnley, and Everton all within 1 point of, that 18th position. This is more points than, you know, most relegation teams have. I think it's just because Norwich and Watford have been so bad that, you know, we're going to see a team probably with, you know, high 30s get relegated. I mean, those three teams left. Who y'all picking to go down?
You know who I'm picking. It stays as is. I hate to say it, but Leeds is the one getting relegated.
Yeah, I just refuse to believe. I don't want to say it, Chris, because I've just been so hopeful that Everton will go down. But I mean, Shay, you know, Leeds cannot like keep a clean sheet. You know, this is a leaky cauldron. You know, we got one leaky cauldron going down, one leaky cauldron coming up. But, I'm just hoping for Everton still.
Yeah, Leeds are going down. I mean, what is that tackle by Luke Ayling? That's an awful tackle. Chris, I wouldn't even make that tackle. I've never made a two-footed tackle. I'm a one-foot tackle guy only. You don't always get the ball.
I agree you wouldn't make the tackle, but I don't know if I could verify. I've seen one and a half.
Point being, that's a terrible tackle, and that is a type of performance that you have no explanation for, where you just let the manager down, and it's unfortunate because I want to see Jesse Marsh do well. Who wants to, you know, he's doing better than Bob Bradley, but that's a very low bar, and you know, you're right, Miles. They can't keep clean sheets. You know, but their season's been a bit of a disaster. You know, no Bamford, long periods. Without your boy Chris in the center midfield locking it down, mm-hmm. and you know, what else do we expect? I mean, it's got to be them. I can't see them getting any more points for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but it's crazy because I mean, like, they're neck and neck. Burnley and Leeds are neck and neck. Like, I could see a situation where neither team gets zero. Like, they both get 0 points for the next 3 weeks, one team gets 1 point and then they advance. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So it is going to be interesting, but in a non-climactic kind of way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Leeds' goal differential is so much worse than Burnley's, which is, I mean, 18 goals difference there. And Leeds has just been – what's crazy is Leeds have been so safe for so long, and they just kept losing.
Yeah, it makes you wonder whether firing Bielsa was a good move. Like, would it have made a difference? Has Jesse March done anything – that Bielsa wouldn't have done? And because they're essentially playing the same football, mm-hmm. the players haven't changed at all. Would you have just kept Bielsa and just gone down, sticking to your principles?
All right. Let's shift our attention over to the Across the Pond Prediction League, where we're predicting all 380 matches this season. You can make your picks at acrossthepond.co. And we've got prizes that we're giving away every month. We're on our last month of prizes now, May, the Promised Land. We used to be awarding Miles, you know, his cumulative score trophy at this time. But, you know, we're doing monthly winners, so one last winner. Shay, any updates for us on the league? What prizes to look at? What final prize? What are we talking here?
Yeah, so I think we announced last month's winner, right? Bowling Ground and Pound. So congratulations to you. But for May, we started a new month of May. As Chris said, it's the last month of the Prediction League. The prize this month will be something very, very specific. It's a limited edition, last of its kind, ATP Soji collab backpack. So it's a hot one. Yeah, exactly. I know. Miles told us came just to say, wow. But Miles, you have to go win it. you know, and because it's so hot, because it's so hot, I had to come out and actually start with some heat this month. And I'm proud to say that I am tied for first place in the month of May, but along with Haze Monster and Herbie Half Loaded.
Hot boy.
Oh, Alex. Oh. That's Alex Herbst. Hey, look at him.
Okay, so, but we're not eligible to win shit. We've never been eligible to win our own swag.
No, for sure. I just want to throw my name in there. But it is the last month. I've gotten in touch with all the winners that were backfilled on. We've updated the tableau. We've done all the work to make sure that we end with the bang. It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish, right? It's not about what goes on in the middle. It's about how you finish. So bring your heat, bring your A game, and we'll be keeping track for these last couple of match weeks. With that being said, since I am the Oracle, for this match week coming up, there's a lot of games I want to predict. But, you know, I'm going to go. Can I get two?
I mean, do you feel as the Oracle, do you feel confident giving two picks away right now?
I feel confident giving two picks.
Wait, can we acknowledge Miles' Oracle pick from last week?
What did Miles say?
It was a game you didn't watch.
You all laughed at me.
Brighton, baby.
Yeah.
So I really feel like it should go to Miles. Them beating you United? Really picked it right.
Yeah, you all laughed at me like,
drawing. Okay, well, I'll tell you what mine's going to be because I think it's going to keep it interesting. I think Wolves are going to sneak a point from City. I think it's going to be a draw. So that's the first one I had. And then I had one about Tottenham Arsenal, but there's no need to talk about that. So Wolves get a draw from Man City. Just negative momentum. I'm telling you, it's a crazy thing. You think, you know, it's crazy.
Well, you can make your picks at AcrossThePond.co. Shay, I like that pick. I like it, I have to say. I can't comment on it because I'm not allowed to, but I like it. We don't have listener questions this week, but I got a bunch of questions for y'all, some fun ones. Maybe some that might get some people animated. You got 5 minutes, Shay? Okay, cool. First question, these are Chris questions. First one, Shay, Brighton loses 4-0 to Manchester United this weekend. My question is, do you care? You know, given Erik ten Hag, given, you know, the state of the situation, out of Champions League and whatnot, like, did the loss bother you? Like, does it matter?
Yeah, absolutely bothers me, especially when I have to deal with you guys talking about Liverpool for the first 10 minutes of the podcast. Absolutely bothered me. We just suck. That's about mine.
I think you're going to say no. My bad, dude. I actually didn't. That answer threw me off. Oh, man. I'm sorry, man. Brighton was looking like Barcelona out there, though. Prime Barcelona days. All right. Moving on. Erling Haaland, news came out today. He's joining City. We suspected it. Obviously, his father played at City. Miles quoted today, league's over for years to come. League's over for years to come with this signing. Shay, Jacob, do you believe Miles? The league's over, and we see City just win the next 5 titles?
I mean, I hate to say that Miles is right. It'll be competitive, but, I mean, this kind of completes the puzzle. He is more physically ready for this league than maybe any other top striker we've seen. You know, Torres was never able to last. He always talked about just the physicality of it. Haaland's built different. He's more ready than Aguero was than when Aguero came, and we saw what he did. He's going to get incredible service. He's a specimen. He's 21. Speed, his height in the air. He is tailor-made for just crushing British goalkeepers and British defenses. You know, it's not going to be easy. I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion, but
league's over? League's over, Jake?
Come on.
Over?
All I'm saying is when we do predictions next year, I'm picking City. That's it. I don't have to think about it. There's going to be no getting cute with it and picking Chelsea or picking Liverpool or, you know, someone signs a great center forward. This is different than Lukaku coming back to Chelsea. It's different. It's different. Your man's hot. He needs his food, his peas. I'm telling you, bro.
Shay, league's over? Next 5 seasons?
No. Nope. You know why? Hey, you know why? Because I am convinced De Bruyne leaves. At least he'll try to force his hand to leave. That's why it's not over. And then you just replace one superstar for another, and then you're back to where you are.
And, I mean, is Chris Pep going to stay? Like, will Pep stay? That we don't know either.
I'm just saying, Chris, you know, he's 21 years old. It's not like he's unproven. Like, he's crushed it. He has 20 Champions League goals already, you know. This guy's insane. And, like, imagine sticking him you know, in that city line, where they don't have to play, you know, false nine, false, you know, whatever, no one there trying to find goals. Like, he's going to get the ball all the time. De Bruyne is going to want to play with Haaland. Think about how many assists he's going to get, just those threaded little through balls. De Bruyne is going to smash it. We're going to see some smash. Look, Shay, you should wake up. Catch those 7:30 a.m. games, man.
4:30.
I have been 4:30 my time. I've caught a couple.
They're going to crush it.
But no, I mean, but look, yeah, okay, yeah. But like PTSD, like, you know, you don't stay in a bad situation and expect a different outcome every time someone flashes something shiny in front of you. No, you got to get out, Courtney.
He probably will leave eventually. Like, I don't think it's impossible. And Chris, it's not like five leagues is just like, you know, Thanos snapping his fingers and trophies appear in the cabinet. But they're definitely the favorites.
Oh, I would agree that they're
favorites. They're going to improve in every position, right?
And they are definitely the favorites. Miles saying the league's over for years to come. I've never heard my friends say that about them.
Miles, you want to – yeah, Miles is a closeted City fan. I mean, we already covered this. He loves Joe Hart, will always root for City. You know, he loves Michael Richards, will always root for City. He loves Noel Gallagher. He loves Oasis. He is
that's true.
He's an Anglophile through and through. But Miles, why don't you tell the people the bet you made with someone from our own parish, if you can name names?
Oh yeah. So Peter and I have a bet that United. To be fair to Peter, he didn't say win the league. He said title challengers in the next 5 years.
So what does that mean? Third or second or?
I guess it means, you know, like Liverpool are challenging for the title. I don't think we'd say Chelsea are challenging for the title right now. I mean, like a legit chance that they would make title. I mean, Peter, we haven't ironed this out yet, but that's how I understand title challenger. So Peter says they will. He's all for Project Rebuild. He thinks Ten Hag is going to hit the ground running. 3 years, for, you know.
And so I bring that up to say.
Stop.
I bring that up to say that. Stop. Miles is putting down money, maybe even a tattoo on the line, that someone else, that no one's going to touch City, that City is going to crush it. Mm. He doesn't see anyone else with the money and the resources coming close.
I hate to say this, but that, okay, maybe the reason why I can agree with Miles, because you look at who else has a bright future in the Premier League. United does not. Arsenal maybe does. I think Liverpool is going to be faced with some, like, they've been so dominant for so long. They're going to be faced with some serious decisions come very soon with Salah. So yeah, maybe. Okay, you're right, Miles. I don't see anyone who can sustain success that long like City can. I think you're right.
Look, I
League's
do think
over for
Liverpool,
years to come.
Chris,
let's all take a break, man.
Challenging, but you know, it's, hey, you know, Haaland's coming. Might be time to retire.
Couple more questions. Which is the FA Cup more important to Chelsea or Liverpool this season?
It's definitely more important to Chelsea. Chelsea have no silverware already. With this changing of the guard, with the project, with leaving, with the takeover happening, to, you know, sustain progress, to continue recruitment, I think they need to have a cabinet. You know, to Liverpool, maybe it's most important to the narrative, to the argument about where this Liverpool team sits in the pantheon of other teams. But I think in the reality of it all, it's the team with no silverware.
Okay, a couple of rapid-fire questions before we wrap. Who did Shay pick to get Golden Boot this season?
Lukaku.
Harry Kane.
Shay, do you remember?
I remember, but Lukaku joined in January. Harry Kane, I said, was going to have a bad start to the Premier League, which he very well did, so I was right about that, too. I think I said Rashford. But leave me alone, man.
No.
You don't know the future.
Everybody's getting one. Everybody's getting one. Who did Miles pick to win the FA Cup this season?
Miles picked Manchester City. We already know the answer.
Leeds?
Oh, yeah.
Manchester United. An FA Cup win. Damn. Who did I pick for player of the season?
Conte.
KDB.
Virgil van Dijk.
Oh, I wish, man. It's N'Golo Conte. Damn. That would have been a good pick. All right.
How'd you know, Miles? How'd you know that?
Because I know Chris picked Chelsea. Chris did a reverse jinx. So, you know, we can't talk about it, but I know he had Chelsea winning the league.
All right, last one. Who did Jacob pick for Golden Boot?
Timo Werner.
Get the fuck out of here, Shay. No.
I was just thinking. Just say what comes to mind first.
I'm not sure because I think he picked City to win the league, so I don't know.
No, I picked Chelsea to win the league, but I'm pretty sure
Lukaku?
I picked Harry Kane.
Oh, Harry Kane.
No, you picked Mo Salah, man. And Mo Salah's leading the race. Mo Salah's leading the race, so Jacob, man, you're a real oracle. All right, y'all.
But I don't really – yeah, it's a tough one. Wow.
Thanks for tuning in this week. Again, we only have a couple more episodes left this season. Plenty of matches midweek. FA Cup final this coming weekend. More trophies to be settled in the next coming weeks and some relegation sadness for you know which fans. But you can find us at AcrossThePond.co, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, at Across the Pond on Twitter. Any final thoughts? League's over for years to come.
Dang. Miles out here like Rio Ferdinand. It's over. Man City are back.
Look, I'm just saying that he's 21. He's just going to crush it. And look, I I've said this, whoever gets Haaland, I'm just backing up a point I've made a while ago. Whoever gets Haaland is going to dominate. That was my point. So I was hoping Liverpool would get
Why would Liverpool get Haaland? Wow. What world universe?
Oh, he'd be amazing.